Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. We've got a special episode for you, a short on the potentially unintended consequences of the new tax bill, which went into play the last couple of days. So we're apolitical on this show, so we're not going to get into did we like it, did we not like it, or anything like that. It's not my place. And we're fans of the Ravens. That's the thing we have in common as a group. But if you do like to wager an occasional few quatloos on an NFL game, by the way, quatloos, Alec Pugliano joining me here. Alec, the origin of quatloos, can you give that to us?
No, I mean, it sounds British to me.
Okay. Quatloos comes from what is generally referred to as the worst Star Trek episode of all time, the Gamesters of Triskelion.
Okay? Oh.
Where they go to a planet where they're imprisoned by these three minds, which all they do is bet quatloos on each other. And so they're all constantly saying 400 quatloos on the newcomers. So they're all placing wagers with each other. So when we say you've got a few quatloos, that's what that comes from. Anyway, if you do like to wager on the games, the NFL in particular, there may be a new obstacle for you from a tax perspective that is worth considering. So I'm going to start by saying it is very important that you not take this as your only source of information on taxes. If you have gambling wins and losses, you need to go to a tax professional and really understand this. So this could be a big win for the tax industry.
Sure.
In terms of getting to advice here. But what I am reporting here is based on the news reports that have so far come out and some of the things that players like Daniel Negreanu, poker select players like Daniel Negreanu have reported. Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's get into it a little bit. And there's a new provision within this big, beautiful bill, whatever you want to call it, the new tax bill, that is being reported by a number of news outlets where gambling will be taxed differently. Now, here is the high level. 90% of gambling losses will be deductible. And we can get into talking about what the fuck does that even mean. And 100% of wins will be taxed. Think about that now. So you win $100,000 in a poker tournament. You have 100% of that tax. And if you lose $100,000 in 10 other poker tournaments, that is only a $90,000 loss that you can write off against your $100,000.
Yep.
So you would have still $10,000 in taxable income, which might be, end up being some significant tax for you. As I understand it, and this is as it's being reported, you are not impacted if you don't itemize deductions. Of course, if you have a mortgage in the United States, you are probably itemizing deductions. And we don't need to get into exactly what groups of people itemize deductions and exactly which don't. But if you itemize deduction, this is reported to impact you directly.
Correct. Feels right.
So, in a lot of ways, Alec, you're on here to make sure I don't say anything stupid. So if when I say something stupid or contradictory, you make sure I do this.
Yeah. And I think one other way to just like foot stomp what's going on here is if you make the same amount of money as you lose, so you break even, from a taxable liability perspective, you aren't breaking even. You did make money, and therefore you're going to pay tax on money that you didn't actually earn. Right. So like, I think that's the easiest way to understand why this is significant is break even is no longer breaking even. Coming out ahead is maybe breaking even. and then, you know, if you come out aggressively ahead, then you're just making a little bit less than you used to. But it has a huge impact in the amount of people who will be wagering and if people are going to continue wagering as an income stream of any sort. So, yeah.
We'll certainly get into that later. I want to get into that a lot more. Because that's one of the downstream unintended consequences here. So you've got three groups generally broadly in the United States. You've got people that itemize their deductions. You've got people that do not itemize deductions, and they're unimpacted. I mean, but you've got to report gambling wins net of gambling losses for a particular calendar year. And there is asymmetric taxation in the United States of gambling. Now, what I mean by that is you're taxed on wins, but you don't get a carry forward on losses. And that differs sharply from, say, owning a stock, where you, if you sell it or not, but if you sold your stock every year on December 31st, let's say, you'd pay tax on the gain, and your loss would be able to be carried forward for, I believe, a set period of time. What is it, 5 years, or might even be 10?
I think it's like you can carry like $3,000 of losses a year. But you can keep like a stockpile of losses and use that like $3,000 until you get through them all. / if you never get through them all, then that's a shame, I guess. But yeah, something like that. Again, reference a tax professional, not us.
Yeah, not us. So I'm pulling this together. I'm basically throwing up a weather balloon for people who understand taxes to a greater degree than I do. And I will say, I come from a very heavy gambling background. In some sense, I ran a large gambling operation as the pricing actuary at a division of Trans America. So from that perspective, I understand it some. But even more, I understand it from my career as a blackjack player. That I've been barred a number of times. I was a person who had to be concerned about closely keeping track of wins and losses and making sure that was reported correctly. And I can tell you, asymmetric taxation is one of the big reasons not to do that for a living, because you can't carry forward your losses from 1 year to the next. Now, because that was so unfair, the IRS did create a specific provision for such people, and they were allowed to designate themselves as self-employed gamblers. And to do so, the first thing is, I'll tell you, if you apply as a self-employed gambler, the IRS is going to look at you with a jaundiced eye. It's like declaring you had a 425-40 in the
as a defensive tackle.
Yes, the IRS immediately looks at you completely differently if you declare yourself as a self-employed gambler. Now, if you don't have other sources of income, I guess it will fly. The burden of proof probably falls to them, but they're able to. They're going to look at you very carefully. You probably increase your chance for an audit if you do that. So anyway, if you have other sources of income, generally speaking, you can't do it anyway. So, as an actuary, you also like to play blackjack. I wouldn't have that option. So I had this asymmetric loss crap that I was already dealing with in terms of having to report taxable income. Most European jurisdictions, including the UK, most notably, don't have any taxes on gambling. It's a tax winnings, lotteries, horse racing, betting on football, whatever. They're all not taxed. And most European governments derive their tax revenue on gambling from the operator side. Okay, so Ladbrokes and Will Hill and all those individual UK bookies, they pay taxes, certainly. And the British economy is tremendously dependent upon gambling, as are a number of other European countries. And so they don't tax individuals for the tax winnings. You're secretly paying for it in terms of maybe lines not being as good and other elements not being as good, but you don't pay
tax on your gambling winnings in most of Europe.
Okay. Very interesting.
Okay. So going forward, first of all, the bill is short on details, as I understand it, in terms of exactly how this is going to be enforced. And I want to give you the most basic example, because this has, you know, been with me for my whole life, basically, or as long as I've been gambling anyway, that the IRS and the courts will have to determine how to enforce this thing. Now, there really aren't individual records of players playing, and whatever there'd be would be aggregated at some level, meaning we know this guy won $25,000 in this year from us at this casino kind of thing. But does an individual event in this, is it like a tournament win? Because that's actually fairly easy to deal with. So if you're a poker player, you have a $100,000 tournament win, you pay tax on $100,000, and you have $100,000 in tournament losses, you get deductions for $90,000 only.
Okay. Yeah, I guess one of the interesting things too that I don't know if you're familiar with, but the major ones that advertise on television, you know, the DraftKings, the FanDuels of the world, are notoriously bad at actually providing tax documents to people who gamble.
Did not know that.
Yeah. So like, that's the other one, like fuzzy line of what is, you know, how this is going to be actually managed and enforced, so to speak. Because I know people who have like just never gotten the forms, and they thought like, oh, they would trigger the threshold to get the forms. So I don't know how that works. Right.
Well, they're not incented to do that.
Correct.
I mean, they wouldn't want to be caught by the IRS as creating those forms, but the last thing they want to do is scare away gamblers by having them, you know,
giving something homework
equivalent to a 1099 for gambling.
Right. Like getting homework for your gambling, yeah. Right? Like, oh, now I need to download this and give it to an account or put it in my taxes. Maybe I can't do the 1040 easy anymore because I have this situation.
Okay. So this brings up an interesting point. Whether you're playing poker or you're on DraftKings, typically you have an account with a total amount of dollars in it. You make wagers. You don't make wagers directly out of your PayPal account or a bank account that's connected. Generally speaking, at least maybe you have a way to do that. Now, you would know more about this than I would.
You deposit into their piggy bank, so to speak,
okay,
through some method, of which there are several, and then you play in that sandbox, and then you can request to get some money out, etc. So that's
an interesting way you described it. There's a sandbox. If you talk to any individual poker community, they talk about it as within their economy. They want you playing within their economy, and effectively, it could be that they won't report anything until you make a withdrawal. So if you put in money but you never have a withdrawal, you never have a result. Could that be? Could that be the way they want that?
That actually could explain a lot for some individuals that may or not be on the show.
and if you go to Las Vegas, one thing you can do is you can hold onto your chips.
Right.
Does that mean you didn't have a taxable event in a particular year, say? So I don't know the answer to that, and I've never tried to push it, so I don't know.
Right.
I don't know if we talked about one thing. The tournament level is kind of an obvious one. It's kind of an auditable one. If you go down to a trip to Las Vegas, does that count? Do you need to total up your tally of how much did you go with? How much did you leave with? A depressing thought, I know, for a lot of people there, but it's something right. that doing all that accounting is a significant amount of homework for anybody who's doing any sort of professional gambling. That's a big pain in the frickin' ass, I can tell you that.
Right.
So you have to keep track of that closely. Is it a session at a casino for this 190/ asymmetric stuff? So if you have records of every time you walked into an individual casino and you won $1,000, you lost $1,000, you won $1,000, you lost $1,000, did I just create myself $100 in net tax liability for every two trips or for every two casino visits?
Right. You know, that's a good point too. Yeah. It's like how they quantize these events.
Yeah.
Right. Because the way I thought it always worked, and maybe this was how it worked beforehand, is that like similar to what you were saying, like it's all lives in the economy. And it's not until kind of similar with stocks, like you can't get taxed on unrealized gains. But once you like sell, or in this case, withdraw, mm-hmm. then that could trigger the tax event.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. So anyway, taken to the most extreme and ridiculous level, it could be individual hands. that are somehow accounted for in this. So you play 100 hands of blackjack, you win 50, you lose 50, and you had a handle of, you went with $1,000, but you had a handle during those hands of $10,000, let's say.
Maybe it's on each blind, Ken. We don't know.
No, hear me through on this one first.
Yeah.
See, you broke even. You had 25,000, you won 25,000, you lost. And do you really have $2,500 in tax liability when you walked into a casino with $1,000?
Right.
I mean, to take it to the extreme, this is just beyond absurd. So it needs definition clearly. Before we get into what that definition needs to be, and obviously the IRS is going to have to issue rulings on this, and they're probably, I can just guess, people at the IRS right now are throwing their hands up in the air saying, what the hell does this mean? Look, we want the revenue, but what the hell does this mean? And
you ever have one of those days where everything's off? Well, Mood can help with that. And let me tell you about Mood. It's the online cannabis brand that is changing the way we handle everything from stress to sleepless nights with functional gummies that are 100% federally legal cannabis. Mood launched to make cannabis affordable, accessible, and transparent, while at the same time supporting American farmers growing premium hemp on small pesticide-free farms. Their gummies are next level. Seriously, I've tried a few and each one feels totally different. The Sleepy Time gummies, out like a light, immediately asleep. The Epic Euphoria, it's perfect when you just need a reset to feel good again. What makes them unique? Mood combines THC with herbs and adaptogens, so you get real targeted effects. You're not going to find this in your typical dispensary. And here's the best part. Mood ships discreetly to most states, offers a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, and right now you get 20% off your first order with the promo code RAVEN. Just head to mood.com. Find your perfect gummy and use the code RAVENS at checkout to save 20%.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Courts are going to have to get involved in and make decisions about what it is. It's just a lot more analysis that's potentially needed. But I'll give you one significant, potentially unintended consequence, and that's with the NFL. Mm-hmm. Is the NFL, of course, is completely in bed with organized gambling. DraftKings, you know, if you go to the NBA website, it's all over their stuff. And then, you know, you have players who are caught gambling, and it's an enormous crime against the game. And you have league at the same time, which is talking out of the other side of their face, which is a completely different color and demonic and whatnot, telling everybody to gamble like crazy, because that's what's driving a lot of the revenue now in pro football. By the way, I've never seen a reliable number on what the portion of NFL revenue that comes from gambling is known. They've got all the traditional sources, tickets, TV, jersey sales, and whatnot. But I guarantee you that gambling is a significant portion of that.
Yeah, for sure. That was accounted for as one of the big reasons that the salary cap ballooned in the last couple of years.
Yeah, could completely agree. So you've had a rising cap. I think the likelihood is that a revenue hit from gambling, if people suddenly decide, hey, wait a minute, this doesn't work for me. I have a mortgage. I'm itemizing my deductions. And now you're telling me I owe $1,500 or $3,000 worth of additional taxes because of money I won on DraftKings, that I didn't even win. You know, I broke even for the year. I even lost money. That's possible. I lost money on the year, and yet I have a tax liability.
Right. Yep.
then, you know, what the hell is going on here? I think that it will cause a fair number of people to get away from gambling. And I think that it certainly should impact revenue if that's the case. So what's the impact of that? If revenue takes a hit, then the salary cap could be impacted negatively. Now, when I say impacted negatively, I don't necessarily mean it could actually go down, although that potentially is possible, because there certainly is a big bubble of revenue dollars related to gambling that are in there that might be taken out and potentially almost all at once or over a very short period of time as people wise up to what's going on here.
Yeah, I think that's the tough part right now is not knowing how like each income stream, like if you think about it from like a companies reporting their earnings and losses, they can say like, oh, this business drove this much, this business drove that much. We don't know that for the NFL. I mean, obviously they know it, but we don't know it.
Right. And that is a problem, but we've seen recent growth in the cap. That's fairly extreme.
There was a new TV bill deal with like the Google YouTube TV. So that could have driven some of it as well. Cause that's what you can look at. Like, what are the major events that would have changed things? Jersey sales are not interesting, right? Like that's kind of a constant. Ticket sales are pretty not interesting. That's kind of a constant. So what really fluctuates these, and particularly in the big numbers, would be TV deals and gambling. So we'll have to keep paying attention to that. And I was talking to you beforehand, I believe 2030 is like the magic year where a lot of this stuff gets renegotiated. As far as the collective bargaining agreement with the player association. So we're going to be, you know, very deep into this bill by then. And we'll see what the implications are, because I know a lot of teams are already hedging towards that date with their void years and things of that nature. So definitely a lot of impact to the NFL. And it could be interesting to see how teams start to approach void years and the accounting of the cap as we head towards this with this new outlook. I think that would be honestly the biggest indicator that we'll get anytime soon is how teams manipulate the cap going forward. If they seem conservative, so to speak, it's like we have like a bull and bear market now for the cap, apparently, driven by gambling.
Okay, Alec, you're saying some really intelligent thing, but I think you're assuming something about the audience understanding exactly what you're saying there. So teams like the Eagles and the Browns have borrowed a bunch of money from their future cap. Okay, yes. The Eagles have done it very successfully. The Browns have done it very unsuccessfully in terms of using future dollars. Now, it has seemed for the last decade or more, well, for most of the last decade, because obviously the COVID years were tough, but for most of the last 20 years, it seemed like the right decision to borrow more future dollars, generally speaking, because those dollars are inflated in the future as the cap rises. So if you can borrow money from 5 years from now, where the cap might be 30% higher or even 50% higher, and you really thought that was going to be the case, you'd be making, generally speaking, a good move. You wouldn't want to go all out on it. You wouldn't want to borrow 2 years worth of cap like the Eagles have in terms of what's being done, unless you thought you were going to get forgiven somehow for this, which that may be part of the Eagles strategy, is that they say, we can keep pushing this until 2030. And if they try and change the rules, we're going to demand that it be forgiven.
Yeah, the Chevrolet of the NFL.
That's Chrysler, right?
It was a Chrysler, yeah.
Yeah, Chrysler's the one that got bailed out in 1980. If strictly enforced, if the law is strictly enforced as it seems to be, as it's being reported now, let me be clear about that, as it's being reported now, then I don't see how it could not ultimately impact the salary cap. People will continue betting because they love to do it. They love to bet on fantasy football. They love to bet on the football games itself. They love to bet on individual over-unders. I mean, Alec, you are a victim to that, as I know very well from watching you observe your phone as closely as I've had at various events.
Yeah, we enjoy a couple wagers for fun. But yeah, it's interesting. Like, yeah, I just don't know like how it'll impact people. Like, I mean, for me, like I'm like, you know, going to watch the space, so to speak. I never have wagered enough where it mattered too much. It just hasn't been an interesting amount of money. Like it's for fun, right? Like if I'm doing $5, like it's okay. Like, I'll see you another day. But it's just been, it'll be less fun if I can get a phantom tax bill. You know, that seems a little, right. A little ridiculous. So I'll be watching it because I don't want to, you know, deal with that. It seems silly.
The only piece of advice that I'd feel comfortable giving to anybody from a tax perspective is consider your net handle. What is the sum total of all wagers made? Okay. And that could be at the hand level, at the trip level, in terms of wins and losses, whatever level you think is appropriate, but see your tax professional. If your handle, is hundreds of thousands or even millions of dollars, it's potentially true that you could be generating a tax liability that'd be tough. And people say, well, I don't bet millions of dollars. You probably don't, but add up in a single year, all the wagers that you won and all the wagers that you right. lost, not net of each other, the absolute value of all those wagers. And yes. if it's $100,000 or $200,000, I mean, you might not actually have a gambling problem, but you might have a tax problem.
Yeah. I think, and you bring up a really good point, because that's something like you can go into those screens on the various apps and like see your cash flow, for lack of better words, like wagers in, wagers out. And it can be a surprisingly large number given small bets. Like volume obviously matters. And also it is interesting in that regard. It can really add up in a way that you'd be surprised. And kind of going back to all like how this is going to be legislated, right? Like how they're actually going to enforce this. If you're doing, you know, $1, $5 bets, but you're doing them daily, right? And you're doing a couple, you'll see several thousand dollars worth of cash flow. So that's something to keep pay attention to how this is getting legislated.
Yeah.
Basically saying like at any level that is, you know, full dollar amounts, right? Like a dollar and multiple wagers, let's say like $5 a day, right? That's $1,500. That'll be enough to maybe trigger an event, here. So it can add up, really quickly in that regard.
Yeah. I guess I've left out the notion that not all wagers you make are one for one wagers. Of course, you make a wager, you might get, you know, 10 to one odds on it, say. Correct. You've got to consider what the positives were of your wins and the negatives were of your losses. That's what I would mean then by your aggregate handle being made. So or being, accumulated, this is supposedly is going into effect in 2025. And Alec, you're the one who told me that. I haven't been able to find that anywhere specifically.
No, it's starting next year, 26.
In 26. I'm sorry.
Yeah. This year's fine. You know, this year is what it is.
Enjoy the last dance. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. Don't bet on the Super Bowl. This is it as far as we know. And it's kind of weird to me that this isn't like ironclad. You would think that's kind of how like laws are written. Like there shouldn't be like, oh, they'll figure it out over time. But
laws are effectively post facto in this country, that they go back oftentimes to the current year, and you don't know what your tax status is till that bill might be decided in August or even November. So they've already hosed a bunch of people. If this is true, they've already hosed a bunch of people on their Super Bowl futures bets, on their MVP bets for the league. So those are already in different taxable strata than they were currently. Anyway, I think, you know, we're going to look around at the implications of this. I think the most important thing is that there's much more analysis legally and in terms of IRS enforcement principles that is needed. I literally think the IRS has no idea what to do. No idea how to enforce it. They're going to look to the courts. They're going to look to individuals to report their income in the way they always have. They have a limited capacity, as the IRS is currently staffed, to do a bunch of audits. So there may not be any effective change anytime soon. And then there'll probably be some harsh language that comes out after courts rule on it to determine, you know, how this should actually be applied, that they're going to be very, very tough on it. And they may or may not actually have the capacity to do it. But that would not be where I'd be placing my bet right now. I wouldn't be hoping that, even if the chance of it happening is low, that the IRS is not going to be able to manage this duty that they're given. So it's a tough thing. But anyway, I think last thing I'll just say is that gambling and gambling adjacent institutions, the NFL is exactly that right now, are impacted by this bill if it's enforced in the way that a lot of people are afraid it will be. So it'll have to have an impact on gambling revenues.
For sure. Yeah. And like we said, it'll influence the cap. So we'll keep an eye on how contracts are given out. I mean, shoot, you know, we're already talking about a Lamar extension that may or may not happen before the season. That 100% will go headlong into 2030, you know, and past that. So it's an interesting question to say what the financial impact would be and how they try to structure it. Because we've seen that they've been a little bit more aggressive about void years and leveraging future dollars. But if they are bearish towards cap outlooks, they might change their tune.
Okay. All right. Not always what you come to looking for this, but this does have an impact on the NFL. When you come to film study, generally, you're looking for some form of football analysis. And unfortunately, the cap impacts of this are, I believe, to be non-trivial if this is as I understand it. And when people like Daniel Negreanu are standing up and saying, you know, poker won't last if this is the situation, then, you know, it could potentially be tough. Alec, really appreciate you coming on and having a discussion about this with me. Where can people talk football with you online?
Ken,
or taxes?
Yeah. Don't ask me about taxes. You can find me at polianis.com. I'm going to start blogging a little bit more. I'm going to like announce it here first. I've been thinking about that more and more, but I'm going to start writing up stuff, even if it's just like things I enjoy that week, just sharing links. So I'll be posting there.
Makes you an aggregator, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'll be link posting and all that good stuff. Yeah, why not? Right. No, I just I was thinking I should get back to blogging again. So okay. Soft launching it here.
All right, very cool. Look forward to it, Alec. Other folks out there, if you'd like to be on a film study short, this sort of material is what I'm looking for right now this time of year. We don't have a lot to report on the Ravens themselves. They're in a good position. I look for the recent episodes, including the run around the AFC North and some of the current problems that that other teams have, which I thought was interesting at Friday Morning GM. But it's a quiet time of year, and I'd love to hear from you. DM's always open, and I'll get back to you very quickly, I promise you. Alec, thanks again for coming on.
Thanks, Ken.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.